Last week I began a new sermon series I'm calling Overcoming. Last week we talked about overcoming fear, how God can help us to sort of push through our fear with faith and with prayer. And this morning we're going to talk about overcoming hurt. We all deal with pain in our lives. There's physical pain, emotional pain, there's even spiritual pain. And this morning as we talk about overcoming hurt, being hurt, what I mean by that is the hurt, the pain that is caused by other people. That particular type of hurt that we have to overcome partly through forgiveness, partly through our own healing, partly by trusting God to help us to overcome. And I know this can be a sensitive topic, a private topic. We've all been hurt in different ways, and you think about times in your own life when someone has hurt you. And that's a hard thing to deal with. It's a hard thing to understand, and it's a hard thing to move beyond, to overcome. I can remember, I was thinking back, you know, when have I been hurt in my life? And I think one of the first times or the longest time ago that I can remember being hurt, I think I was maybe in third grade and it was recess and I was standing in line to play tetherball. You remember, I don't think they play tetherball anymore, but you have a pole and there's a rope and a ball attached to the rope and you got to spin it around and whoever can get the ball to touch the pole wins and you against another kid. And so I'm standing there waiting my turn in line and some kid whose name and face I don't even remember now, but he wanted to get in front of me and so he pushed me out of the way and I fell down. And I don't think I was hurt that bad, but I can remember that wasn't very nice, right? It's sort of symbolic, this vague memory I have of being hurt. And as you think through your life, I'm sure you can think of similar things. Some of them are just like that, long time ago and no big deal, but other hurts are more lasting and they are a big deal. People are selfish and greedy and pushy and demanding, and sometimes people hurt us. And yes, sometimes we even hurt other people. And the Bible calls these things sin, when you hurt someone. This morning we're going to think about how we respond when someone sins against us, when someone else hurts us. How do we deal with that? And we're going to look at a familiar story out of the Old Testament, out of Genesis. It's a story about a young man who is hurt very badly by his own family, by his own brothers, and this pain that was brought into his life ended up changing the whole course of his life. And yet God came into his life and took this pain and turned it into something useful, something good, and eventually brought reconciliation between this group of brothers. But we need to begin at the beginning of the story. And we begin with a man named Jacob, who's also known as Israel. And he was the father of these 12 sons. And one of his youngest sons was a man named Joseph. And Joseph was his favorite. And we begin the story when Joseph is a teenager. This is in Genesis chapter 37, beginning at verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then down at verse 12. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them. "Very well," he replied. And then verse 17. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance. And before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." And his brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. The next several chapters of Genesis tell the story of Joseph taken off as a slave into Egypt. And he arrives there, and some things go well and some things don't go well. He ends up in prison for a crime that he didn't commit, and he's finally released, and he is able to serve Pharaoh, and he's eventually promoted through God's grace in an amazing turn of events, promoted to become one of the great rulers, leaders over the Egyptians. And in that position of power, God uses Joseph to save many people from a great famine that comes on Egypt and the surrounding nations, including a famine that affects Joseph's own family back in what would become the Promised Land. And Joseph is able eventually later to be reunited with his brothers. And so now we pick up the story in chapter 50 of Genesis at verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of your servants, of the God of your father." And when this message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph's life was turned upside down by what his brothers did to him. They treated him cruelly. They sold him into slavery. But before we get to how badly Joseph was hurt, which is sort of the key event in his life that set up all that God was going to do through Joseph, But before we get to how badly he was hurt, and before we even think about how badly we have been hurt, and certainly we all carry with us the scars of what people have done to us, we also need to understand that none of us is innocent. So we need to start with this biblical truth that may be hard for us to swallow, but we need to hear it, and that is that God sees all the ways that you have hurt other people. God knows all the ways you've hurt people. Joseph, of course, becomes a great hero of faith. He's used by God to save his family from the great famine that spread across that part of the world. His life ends up setting the stage for the history of the Israelites. They will live out many years, generations in Egypt before finally being led by Moses back into the promised land. And it's Joseph who God uses to set that stage for growing this one little family into a great nation. And yet, Joseph was not perfect. Joseph was not innocent. The beginning of the story, in fact, Joseph sort of lords his father's love and affection over his brothers. He was the favorite, and he made sure that they knew that. And the father, also Jacob, was not innocent in that as well, giving this special gift, this beautiful robe, just to Joseph, this symbol of, this is my favorite son, this is the one I love more than any of the others. And so Jacob wasn't innocent in that. And Joseph also telling his dreams to his brothers, one day you're going to bow down to me. God's told me. Isn't this wonderful for me? And his brothers turned against him because of those words, this conflict that he sowed in their relationship. Joseph was not innocent. And like Joseph, we need to remember that we are sinners too. I've hurt people. You've hurt people. We all contribute to the pain in the world around us. And as we deal with the pain that we have experienced, the pain that has been caused by others, we need to remember that we've also been on the other side. And we also need to remember that those who hurt us have been on the other side. They have been hurt as well. Nobody goes through this life without experiencing pain or without causing pain. And so we approach our own pain with humility, with empathy in our hearts. I am not perfect. And the people who have hurt me, they have been hurt as well. I see it over and over again as a pastor, and people tell me things, again, on both sides of this equation. But what I've seen over and over is that hurt people hurt people. People who have been hurt turn around and cause pain in the lives of other people. And that's not an excuse. It's not a way that we say, well, I've been hurt so I can turn around and hurt someone else. That doesn't excuse your actions. If someone hurts you, it's not an excuse for them to say, well, yeah, I'm just doing what someone else did to me. It is still sin. The sad thing is that it becomes a predictable pattern in many people's lives. And yes, we are each a part of the problem of sin and pain in the lives of the people around us. But then that brings us to the other side of the story, and that is that God sees all the ways that you have been hurt. God sees all the pain that's been caused in your life. Of course, we know Joseph's story, betrayed by his brothers, thrown into the cistern, treated like an animal, sold as a slave, falsely imprisoned, all the ways that Joseph was hurt, badly hurt. He suffered terrible pain in his life, physically assaulted by his brothers, certainly emotionally traumatized by that. Think of having your own flesh and blood, your own family turn against you and sell you off into a foreign land. Joseph experienced terrible trauma in his life. And we can read his story in the Bible, but the story of the pain that you have experienced maybe has never been told. I would imagine that you've experienced things in your life, maybe pain that you've carried around for years and years that no one else ever experienced. knew about. Maybe only you and the person who hurt you. People tell their pastor heartbreaking stories. It's sad, the things that I've heard in the lives of people in this church and other churches I've served. I've heard of children being abused. I've heard of women being assaulted. I've heard of spouses being cheated on. I've heard of people being hurt by lies and gossip and slander. Physical violence, sexual violence, emotional violence. This world is full of hurting people. And I should say, it might help you to talk with a friend or with your pastor. And I'm always here to listen. I'm always here to hear those things. I can't heal your pain, but maybe talking about it can help. And again, I know there are people who carry pain for years and years before they finally open up and seek some kind of help and ask someone to come and pray for them, pray with them. But then again, I also know that I haven't heard it all. Some of the pain that you carry in your life, I imagine you've never shared with anyone else. But I do know this, that God has seen it all. God is aware of every way that you've been hurt. God knows what you've experienced, which means that you're not alone. Your pain is not just sort of lost in the darkness of the world around you. It isn't something that you have to carry alone. God was there with Joseph when he was thrown into the cistern. He was there when he was bound and carried off to Egypt. God was there with Joseph when he was left to rot in Pharaoh's prison. God saw it all. And he never abandoned Joseph. And the same is true for you. God doesn't abandon you. He doesn't leave you alone. He sees all of that pain and he knows even the pain that you continue to carry with you today. And that truth sets the stage for the good news that we find in Joseph's story and the good news that runs all through the Bible. You see, God sees all of that pain and he wants to help you to overcome the hurt that you have experienced. There is this amazing truth about God that runs through the Bible. From the very beginning, even places here in Genesis, and all through the history of the Israelites in the Old Testament. And the same truth appears in the New Testament, and it is central to the life and ministry of Jesus, our Savior. This truth is that God redeems our pain. God redeems pain. God is able to take what is broken and what is painful, and he's able to remake it into something beautiful and good. God can bring good out of your pain. In Joseph's story, God brought extraordinary blessing and good through Joseph and through even this great pain that he suffered. God was able to take that and to use it to bring him to a position of power in Egypt so that he could save literally thousands, maybe millions of lives through this years-long, 7 years of famine. And Joseph was there used by God to save not only the Egyptians, but ultimately to save his own family, his own brothers who had betrayed him, his father and their whole household. And Joseph understood many, many years later, he was able to say to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what's now being done, the saving of many lives." Now, we need to be careful with how we understand this. This does not mean that what Joseph's brothers did to him was a good thing. It wasn't a good thing. It does not mean that the ways that people have hurt you, that those are good things. It's not what God wants for your life. It's not what God intends. Bad things do happen to us. People do bad things to us. We get hurt, we deal with the effects of sin and selfishness, and God does not want you to experience those things. God feels that pain that we experience, and he doesn't want any of his children to suffer. But at the same time, God does not let your pain go to waste. God does not allow that hurt that you have experienced to be the last word in your life, just as He didn't allow the pain that Joseph experienced to be the end of his life. He doesn't let those who hurt you win by allowing that pain to go unanswered. And the answer that God has for your pain, the answer that God wants to bring into your life for the hurts that you have experienced, is to redeem that pain, to bring something good out of it, to take that pain that you've experienced and to reshape it, to renew it, to remake it into something better and something useful. God wants to restore and to heal so that through His will and through His work, you're able to overcome your pain. It could be that the hurt that you've experienced in your own life allows you then to show compassion to others who are also dealing with similar pain in their own lives. It might be that instead of allowing pain to sort of linger and that bitterness to grow in your heart, that you're able to reach out to someone else and to help them to avoid experiencing that same pain that you've lived through. It might be that the pain that you feel causes you to end an unhealthy relationship. And maybe that's how God redeems that pain. Maybe God leads you to make a change in your life that puts you on the path that God desires for you, and the result of the pain that you experience is that you seek after God in a new and fresh way and listen to His voice and go in a new direction. Again, that doesn't mean that being hurt is good for you. It doesn't mean that it's what God wants for you. But one way that God can help us to overcome hurt is that He can redeem that pain. He can bring good out of it. He can take it and remake it so that the hurt that you've experienced can bring about by God's will an unexpected blessing in your life and in the lives of the people around you. Now this leads us to the hardest teaching in Joseph's story. And it's a teaching that requires for us a hard choice and a real lifelong commitment. You see, God calls you to forgive those who have hurt you. God calls you to forgive. I imagine it took Joseph a long, long time, many years, for his heart to soften toward his brothers, for him to come to this point where he could see God's redemptive work in his life, this plan that then begins to unfold for Joseph so that God can bring good out of this hurt. But eventually Joseph saw that God was at work. And eventually Joseph was able to set aside that great hurt that he had experienced, and he said to his brothers, don't be afraid, I will provide for you. And he reassured them, and he spoke kindly to them. Joseph forgave his brothers. Forgiving someone who has hurt you may be the hardest thing that we ever have to do. To let go of anger, to let go of resentment, to let go of that desire for vengeance, which is our natural emotional response. When someone hurts us, we want to hurt them back. And it may take a long time to get to that point where you can put away that hate and that bitterness, but it is what God is calling you to do. Overcoming hurt may not begin with forgiveness. It rarely begins with forgiveness. And yet, overcoming hurt isn't complete until you have offered that forgiveness to the one who has hurt you. Until we've offered grace. Until we've shown mercy. You see, ultimately, forgiveness allows us to overcome the hurts that we've experienced. As we forgive, we imitate the one who has forgiven us. That is, we imitate Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, taking on Himself the burden and the pain that we had caused, taking on Himself our sin. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. He died so that He could call us to offer that same forgiveness to others. And as we remember all the ways that we've been forgiven, we think about the parable we heard earlier in the service, the story Jesus told, reminding us that we have been forgiven an enormous debt, and so in turn we need to turn and forgive others who have hurt us. And when we do, when we offer that forgiveness, the Spirit can transform us, enabling us to overcome the hurt we've experienced. But also the Spirit can transform the one who has hurt us. And in those ways, God can redeem your pain. And He can bring blessing in its place. So let's bow our heads together. Lord, we thank You for Your grace, for the forgiveness that You show us. And Lord, we ask that You would help us to learn to forgive. Heal us, Lord, from those hurts we've experienced. Help us to overcome by the presence of Your Spirit and the power and the mercy that You show us. But Lord, also teach us to forgive those who have hurt. Teach us, Lord, to lay down those burdens. I pray for healing in the hearts and the bodies and the minds of each one who's here today, that You would help us to overcome so that we can live a more fruitful and joyful and blessed life. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. And I pray that You teach us to show grace to others as well. So we pray this in the name of our Savior who died so that we could receive Your grace. Amen.